What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From the meters of Sissy Strut, did you say somebody fired a box of bubble gum out on the field? Is that what they said?
Yeah, Jose Contreras last night apparently said something about the plate umpire's mama during the game between the Cardinals and the Pirates. He got ejected, and his tirade included going back to the dugout and throwing a box of bubble gum onto the field.
There should be some kind of federal law against heaving a box of bubble gum at somebody, don't you think? Can you imagine the carnage that could result?
It could be a weapon of mass destruction. You get it stuck on your shoes, your clothes, could be a disaster.
A weapon of mass destruction. Maybe more like a weapon of mass bubbles. I don't know. Either way, man, I used to love chewing bubblegum as a kid. You?
Still love it.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
I got jaw troubles and all that mess. Anyway, we'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about President Trump and deploying police all over the country or the military all over the country. Can he? Should he? Et cetera, et cetera. You can text me your thoughts at 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker, back in the flash, WWL. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know who you worship or if you worship, but you should thank whomever for the hurricane season that we've had thus far. And considering we're approaching the statistical peak on September 10th, that we're pretty well clear for the next 7 to 10 days. Not only that, but the humidity is down, and I could feel it in my house. I don't know what that says about the insulation in my home or not, but I could feel how the air conditioner was at 70 instead of the usual 68, and it felt as cold to me or as cool to me as it normally did. And then when I got out the shower this morning, I froze, just like when you're in Las Vegas or somewhere like that where the humidity is very low and you get out of a pool and you freeze immediately, even though it's 100 degrees. Right now it's 76 degrees, going up to 90 today, but with lower humidity and dew points, it's not going to feel that bad. As normal, at least, with the humidity. It's still hot outside, but be aware of that. We'll talk about, when we take a second here, we'll talk about President Trump and, okay, we're having a little trouble getting the guests. We'll talk about President Trump and deploying the National Guard to different states for crime issues and whether or not they're real or not. I know he's quoting some stats that the local officials are saying are not true. So somebody I was talking to the other day, and I don't think they have Trump derangement syndrome or anything, but they did express a fear that they added a couple of things together. And President Trump was showing his hat collection to some foreign leaders. And one of them said, Trump 2020, what would it be, 2028? I guess it would be 2028. And he said, they're saying I should run again. I don't know. Maybe I should. Of course, the Constitution prohibits that. And this person said, you know, what if President Trump is sending the military into all of these cities, starting with the nation's capital, and then before you know it, he or his administration controls the police forces or at least law enforcement in all of these cities, and all of this is being done with an eye toward him staying in office and not leaving. Then he made some comments yesterday about a dictator that has some eyebrows raising. Of course, President Trump just likes to raise eyebrows sometimes. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. I hope you are, too.
I am. I was talking before the break about, before you came on, and we got to take a break here in a second, about somebody, a friend of mine, and I don't think he has Trump delusion, what do they call it, Trump derangement syndrome?
Yes,
but,
correct.
But talking about how, wait a minute here, no, he's showing foreign leaders his hat collection and saying maybe I should run in 2028, I don't know. He's talking yesterday about dictatorship. He's now sending the National Guard into the nation's capital, first of all, and then major cities around the country. And people are wondering if this is a precursor to him not leaving office. And I don't know if that's Trump derangement syndrome or not. I can make a case for where maybe this person has a point, or no, that could never happen. We'll talk to you more when we come back about what the Constitution says and what would happen if something like that should attempt something like that. It's 620, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:23, back to David Schultz, quickly a professor of political science at Hamline University. Let me read some of the texts that are coming in here, David, just so you get in the sense of where the audience is. Do we actually believe any numbers or stats that the Democrat governors, mayors give? Well, okay. That's ridiculous, somebody else said. Somebody said Democrats are preaching dictator propaganda, although it was the president himself that used the word dictator. Tommy, where have you been? We're all warning against this last year. If you listen to Trump's latest press conference from the Oval, you are witnessing the mind of an authoritarian dictator. This guy is beyond unhinged. Ask him why is our MAGA governor sending National Guard to where the dictator wants as versus needed locally in Shreveport and New Orleans. So anyway, that's a smattering of where the texters feel. Let's talk about what the Constitution says and what my friend was worried about with, wait a minute, there's like a frog in boiling water where it's the nation's capital and it's this city, then that city, then that city. Then before you know it, 2028 comes around and the National Guard is in control of all of the cities. Thoughts?
Okay, a few different observations here. One of them, I'm going to invoke our constitutional framers again. And as I always say to my students at the beginning of the semester when I teach, our framers started with one word, fear. Fear of abuse of power. And it doesn't matter whether it would be Biden, Obama, Trump, or whatever, or George Washington. Go back to that point. Is that we always have to start with a healthy skepticism about fear. And our Constitution is all about preventing abuses of power. And that we should never completely trust anybody, no matter who they are. And I just mention that because I think on both sides of the equation, Democrat versus Republican, we always need to have this healthy skepticism towards people in power, because what's the old line? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But having said that, first, the Constitution is clear, two terms that the president can serve. Two, we have a law in place called the Posse Comitatus Act from 1877 that bars the use of the military for law enforcement purposes. And with that, there's also a law that says that the president cannot invoke National Guard for domestic services or domestic policing. The request has to come from governors.
But it seems like that's what's happening now.
Exactly. If the fact pattern looks like this is a lawsuit in California right now, Newsom versus Trump. It looks like he's in violation of federal law in terms of at least two federal laws in terms of my reading of the law and in terms of what's been historical reading of the law.
So what happens now? Because what recourse do governors have if the governor's saying, no, you're violating Posse Comitatus? And look, we went through that as we commemorate the 20th anniversary of Katrina about the National Guard taking over here instead of local policing. And the governor said, no, you can't do that. That's not legal. And at that time, and let me just say something else before you answer the question, and that is, we have never had these conversations with any president before, have we? And President Trump is partly to blame for these conversations going. I know people are easy to say Trump derangement syndrome, but he's the guy that's bringing a lot of this to the forefront.
Probably the only other time we might have had a conversation like this would have been during Reconstruction post-Civil War. But let us say in modern U.S. history, we've never had this kind of conversation before regarding presidents deploying National Guard or federal troops for law enforcement purposes. And so Trump has changed the debate in the equation. And that, again, and I know we're going to get a lot of texts on this one, that, again, raises all kinds of concerns about no matter whether you think you love your president or hate him, you have to be worried about what? Potential abuses of power. And we have to start with that, because for a lot of people who might like Trump, they put Biden into office and they're going to be really upset about anything he does. And so both sides need to basically realize that there's a potential of abuse regardless of who the president is.
So what my friend was saying, is that beyond the scope of believability or possibility? Does he have Trump derangement syndrome?
Certainly, I'm not a doctor of psychiatry, so I can't make a comment on that. But in terms of...
Okay, let me ask you this. Is he worried needlessly?
No, he's not worried needlessly. I think we should always be afraid of anybody who who describes themselves as possibly a dictator or not wanting to leave office. That is enough of a reason to be concerned. People were very concerned when Franklin Roosevelt decided to run for a third term and were describing him as a dictator, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we always have to be concerned. And people who are raising that kind of skepticism and saying, what about the potential for abuse of power? That's healthy in a democracy.
Somebody texted in and said, we've never had so much crime out of hand in major cities before either. What the hell is wrong with trying to keep law and order? Well, I think the question is crime really up or down? Because the FBI statistics show that it's down, and it seems as though you could make a case that this is a manufactured crisis.
All the FBI reports do indicate, and these are very well-established bipartisan numbers, FBI uniform crime reports, we are at a significantly low period in terms of crime, let us say in recent American history, and there's no indication at all that people are manufacturing numbers in order to try to claim that there's more crime than we want. In fact, politicians have every incentive at the local level to say there's less crime.
Should any American trust any politician, whether they're Democrat or Republican, 100% completely?
Never, and our framers would endorse that view.
I agree. Thank you, David. David Schultz, professor of political science and law at Hamline University. We'll take a break, come back, talk with a Katrina survivor who wrote it out at a hospital who actually works with us. Back in a flash right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AM FM and .com.
So we always hear about Jordan Fiegel, who produces from an unknown location. Well, not only is he not in an unknown location, but he's going to join us when we come back, because he's got an interesting story about riding out Katrina at Lindy Boggs Hospital, where he went after that and how he was rescued, which is really interesting as we continue our Katrina remembrance here. We were walking around just now, and you remember Christmas Vacation with Squirrel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan's walking ahead of me, and I see on his back that he has one of these two-tone roaches. You know that?
Oh, no.
Yes, the maroon and tan that look like
tree roach.
That are not only reminiscent of a Studebaker from the 50s, but about the size of the car as well. So I said, Jordan, hang on a second. And I knock it off his back. And I can't tell you what Jordan said, but what the were the first two phrases, were the first two words of what he said.
Now, my question is, did you kill the insect?
Knocked it off. Well, first of all, had it been an armed roach, I would have wrestled Jordan to the ground and covered him with my body. That would have been the first thing.
Okay.
But the roach was unarmed. I was able to discern that in the moment. So I knocked the roach to the ground. And then I didn't just smash it. I tapped it. There's an art to killing these roaches, because if you smash it, you got a mess. I tapped it, stunned it, and then Jordan went and finished it off and dispatched the roach to hell where it belongs. Because, you know, these insect guys, what do you call them? Insectariums?
Exterminators.
No.
Oh, entomologists?
Yes, that was what we were like. Show me entomologists. There we go. Number one answer. They'll tell you a roach does absolutely no good, contributes nothing to anything. So dispatch him to hell whenever you can. We'll take a break, talk to Jordan Fiegel, get his story about the roach and also about Hurricane Katrina when we come back on WWL. 6:46, 14 till 7. Normally, he's producing from an unknown location, but Jordan Fiegel, our executive producer, joins us now to tell us his Katrina story, because it is a fascinating one. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm good, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm well. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, why are you... Who do you think... That's from The Office. Why are you so mean to me? No, I'm just teasing. Tell me your story. How old were you when Katrina came and arrived?
16.
16, so what happened? It's August 20. When you want to start? August 27th, 28th, 29th?
Yeah, I guess we can start the Saturday.
Okay. Be the 26th.
27th.
Don't start all this again. All right. Go ahead.
I think we figured it out. Was the 27th. No, I was. I used to work at Oakwood Mall and went to work like any other day. I was 16. I wasn't paying attention to forecasts and everything. And, you know, shops slowly started closing down in Oakwood, and eventually they sent us home.
Uh-huh.
And eventually I got sent home. My mom, you know, had worked at Lindy Boggs Hospital, Mercy Hospital, and she had hurricane duty, so she was going to go in whenever a storm came. And she brought me and my little sibling and our dog, Sierra. We go in Sunday afternoon, you know, unload the car, pack up, you know, get put in one of the little hospital rooms. Wasn't really thinking anything of it. Went to bed like normal Sunday night.
They had made arrangements, the hospital, for family members, and rooms were empty, so they said you can go sleep in it?
Yes, yep. And we were all in one room. Yeah, I slept on a little cot. It was just woke up, storm had passed by, you know, Monday morning, or mainly
passed. Any windows broken in the hospital or not?
Yes, some windows did. Not in our room, fortunately, but...
It was wild here, bro. I gotta tell you, it was crazy.
I slept through it all.
Okay, and then what happens?
Didn't realize anything was wrong throughout Monday. We're just kind of going around. The backup power sources in the hospital were on the bottom floor, so they had to turn those off fairly
early. At what point did you realize the water was rising? Because Lindy Boggs is on Bienville, right by Eliuses,
yes,
pretty much?
Okay. Yep, right by Eliuses. Sometime Monday, we were out on the emergency room ramp just hanging out, and... While we were out there, we noticed the water slowly inching up, and it's like, well, that's not supposed to happen.
Right.
And we actually listened to WWL on the little radio I had, and that's when we found out, you know, that it hit the fan.
But that would have been Tuesday morning when you found out.
Well,
because the first notice was, I'm not trying to correct you, but was Dave Cohen, because I was here. Dave Cohen coming on the air on Tuesday morning at about 11, I think. Dave could tell us what time it was, saying that Walter Maestri from Jefferson Parish over at the Emergency Management Center told him that the levees had broken, water was filling in the city, the bowl was filling up, etc. But you had heard just stories of people in attics and all of that, and then when you saw the water rising, you presumed?
Yes.
Because downtown, we were walking around here by the Superdome thinking, and of course you were closer to the breach.
Mm-hmm. What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Bienville, we were thinking, man, we dodged a bullet. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you got rescued and everything. So the water comes up. You're stranded at the hospital, basically?
Yes. We're just on like a little island in the hospital, basically.
With your dog?
Yes. Okay. And there were like, because a lot of the employees brought their pets, so there were 70 plus dogs, cats.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. And then I know there was a nice reunion. We'll talk about that when we come back. Quick break, 650 traffic, WWL. All right, 6:55, 5 till 7, quickly back to Jordan Fiegel, who rode out the storm at Lindy Boggs Hospital. So the water's coming up. Cohen's on the air Tuesday morning, alerts the city that it's flooded. You saw it before that, though, because, and again, the communication was like the Flintstones, and honestly was. Tell me what happens from there.
Yeah, so Tuesday, we're just kind of hanging out in the dark, hot hospital.
No power.
No power since whenever they had to shut the generators off on Monday. Hundreds of people there, patients, employees, and family of the employee, the pets. And, you know, because everything's flooded, all the dogs are having to go to the bathroom in like a designated part of one of the roofs.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So what happens then?
Like Tuesday, we're just hanging out. My mom worked in the lab. We actually had a little taco night that night with some of the, because all the employees like brought like extra food with them and everything. And so
not stuff from the lab.
No.
All right. So then what happens? And it's hot and it's miserable. You got patients. We'll talk to the doctor about that in a little bit. When do you leave the hospital?
Well, Wednesday. That comes around. We finally start getting word that, you know, there's a relief effort. They're going to be taking us out at some point on Wednesday. Obviously, they, you know, got the most critical patients that they could out first. It was probably around 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. By boat, yes. I want to say it was some Lake Charles firefighters. That's the memory I have.
But what's it like? You know, you go there in a car, you're leaving in a boat. Where do they take you? How long were you in a boat going down Bienville or wherever?
We went on a boat. They dropped us off to...
what was the route? Do you remember?
We went from Bienville. We eventually ended up at the cemetery at like the on Canal.
Yeah, because that was a high ground or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And from before we went on boat, transferred to an airboat at one point. That dropped us off. That put us in another boat at the cemetery. That took us to the big mess at I-10 and Causeway.
How long were you there?
Probably about 5 hours.
Take a minute, if you can, and describe for people that have seen it but were not living through it. What was the situation on that causeway gathering area, I guess?
Oh, it was bad. Like, it was just a giant mass of humanity.
Just chaos?
They passed out some, water and some MREs, but you know, nobody had a place to go to the bathroom or anything like that. And it's,
you know, were you frightened at any point?
Not really. I was 16. Right. I was stupid. I
mean, young, dumb. You didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't have to worry about, you know, like a house or a job.
How
or
long were you there till they took you somewhere else?
I think it was around 11 p.m. They got buses for the hospital group, and they eventually got us out of there. We ended up in Lafayette. And when they took us out of the hospital, they only took people. So all the employees, including us, had to leave our pets behind in the hospital.
Yeah. Today's National Dog Day. Did you get the dog back?
We did get the dog back. And the guest we have coming up at 7 o'clock is a doctor who stayed behind to take care of patients and all the pets. And he kept all the pets alive. And they got him out probably 3-4 weeks later. I didn't know any of this. My mom was frantically tracking this all behind the scenes, but we reunited with our dog in Houston, flown on a private plane to us from some small Texas town. We still don't know who paid for her to have surgery on her leg.
Now, you graduated from Jesuit, so I know you're mentally messed up, but seriously, did it leave any lasting effects on you? You were 16 at the time, and I mean, that had to be tough, because I was a grown man when that happened.
I had nightmares for a while after it.
About specifically the causeway thing?
Being in like a flooded city.
Wow. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate the story. I really do. And you reunited with the dog, and I bet the dog was happy to see y'all.
Oh, she was. She ran out of the plane right to us.
And you were happy to see her.
Yep.
All right, man. Thank you. We'll talk to who when we come back?
James Riopelle.
Who's a doctor and his wife who rode out the storm at Katrina. He's an anesthesiologist. We'll be back. WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.